Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Joining me from Aotearoa in the Waikato, we have Arthur Abiz coming on to have a chat about his first track in 2 years, first track of the year, which is called Mystery Train. Good morning to you, Arthur. How are we, man?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Things are going pretty dandy. It's April Fool's. Have you been fooled yet?
Holy moly. Have I been fooled yet? No, but I'm definitely going to play some pranks on my kids.
Nice.
Later today, for sure.
Nice. What kind of pranks do you have in mind?
Oh, man, I can't spoil it. Because people might think I'm a cruel father.
Whoa. Crazy. I got to say, man, your vibe is immaculate. Not only Thanks. Does your music sound like the 60s, but from a lot of the photos I've seen of you and from the camera that I'm viewing you through right now, there's definitely a 60s vibe when it comes to your style, I reckon. Who are your sort of...
I'm a lazy man. Like, I've got a beard and long hair. It's generally because I'm too indolent to shave it.
But I mean, I've seen that photo where you're wearing like that really awesome sort of tan yellow corduroy jacket and a cowboy hat. And I mean, like, who are your style icons, man? Because you got some stees.
Oh, man, I'm just lucky. That jacket actually belongs to my friend Ryan. He lent it to me when he went to Germany, and I was, like, really stoked to have it because I'm kind of tired of a lot of the apparel that I've got at the moment. So I was like, great, I'm going to wear this. Mm. Cowboy hat actually was my brother's, but I've had it on loan for, like, I don't know, 15 years. I actually wore it to the very first show I played in Auckland, which was, like, 2008. So it's been with me a long time. It's not, like, a recent thing. And in terms of, like, fashion, I don't know. I like kind of, like, just... bread and butter kind of old just plain pants and like good fitting shirts, good nice materials. I don't know what to say. Yeah, it's just kind of those old-timey, like you're working on a ranch or something in the 50s, you know. They had like really nice denim jackets and things like that and sturdy pants. I don't know, for some reason I just like that vibe.
Yeah, how utility and style. And
yeah.
That's good,
right.
It's a good combination. A lot of the music that you've made is rooted in sort of like 60s psychedelia. And I want to know, like, how do you balance being original while working with such established sounds or working in such established sounds?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, I don't go out of my way to, like, when I'm writing or recording to think, like, I need to make the 60s. I need to, like, try and recreate stuff. It's just because I like a lot of that music. I really find it to be, what would you say, kind of just some of the greatest in terms of the instrument, the way that people played their instruments back in those days and the way they structured their songs and the creativity. It does something for me. I like the energy that it kind of creates, like the psychedelia stuff in particular, not like overtly kind of like showy off psychedelia where it's like lots of guitar solos and things like that, more of things that kind of take you on a journey and an adventure.
Yeah,
I like that kind of element to psychedelia, and I don't go out of my way to try to make my song psychedelic, but I like it when I have an opportunity to kind of like, oh, here's a spot where I could like kind of freak the listener out and go somewhere they didn't expect, you know. And that gives it the song some re-listenability, so like somebody listens to the song like the third, fourth time, like, oh, I didn't notice that before, that's been there the whole time, and it's really interesting, but I didn't pick up on it until like I fine-tuned my hearing to, you know, pick up on that little guitar thing or drum thing that was kind of buried there, but adds flavor and texture. I mean, you can say that about a lot of songs, but for some reason the 60s, the way they did it, I kind of like that. And yeah, I think it's just like when you're in your 20s as well and you're exploring music, a lot of the stuff that you kind of absorb will, and in your teens will, and you, that's all the music that you absorb at that time, will no doubt have an impact on you for the rest of your life. It's kind of like this creative and spiritual well that you kind of draw from. And I listened to a lot when I was really young. I listened to a lot of punk rock and things like that in the 90s. That was kind of really cool. And then I found some 60s music, and it was just like this buried treasure that nobody else was listening to, and it was back in the day before streaming music, so I would go on blogs and things and find all these cool obscure albums, and that was really fun. And that just obviously left its mark on me, and I really, you know, treasure a lot of that music. So it's just when I write, that just kind of comes out nice. In what I do.
I mean, it's great. I think with this new track, Mystery Train, I definitely felt like the organ tone on this track was very reminiscent of 96 Tears. By the, I think the Mysterians, I think that's their name.
Yeah, I love that. It's actually there's a recreation of a Vox Continental, which was the organ that Ray from The Doors played. So they had a digital reissue of that a little while ago, and I bought that because I was like, great, this is light, I can use this for touring without lugging around my big old heavy instruments. Mm-hmm. So I actually used that on the record. So it's a digital recreation of a traditional, old school organ, but it sounds really authentic.
Mean, and it's living up to expectations. This new instrument, it's working great.
Yeah, no, it's great. That's awesome. Great. It's not as like it doesn't have as much I guess old school analog warmth to it, you know. So that's why I kind of run it through an amp and have other kind of tweaks that I do to it. But it's certainly it hits the mark for sure. Sure.
Mm. Have you ever bought a piece of equipment and had really high hopes for it to turn out and be quite sloppy? I imagine that would be pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly bought and traded and regretted things and sold them off pretty quick. I remember I bought this guitar, which was like modeled off when I was younger. It was I just looked at it online. It's like, man, that's the coolest looking guitar, and I ordered it through the rock shop, and it was the lead guitarist from Kiss, I think his name is Paul Stanley, and it was like this really cool shaped guitar, different to anything I'd seen. Then I bought it, and then I didn't realize when I got it, it was like covered in like glitter, and it was like the balance was really weird, so you'd stand up with it and the neck would just like slink right down to your knees, and I was like, oh man, this is the worst purchase ever, and I immediately traded it in that week for the guitar. So I've certainly had some duds over the years.
Oh, cracker.
My friends gave me a lot of shit when they saw the glitter on it, that's for sure.
I think this is a very timely release because, you know, it's got train in the name, and with the rising cost of fuel, a lot of people in New Zealand that I've seen online have been pretty keen to get a national rail service going again.
It's a mystery. Where the hell is it? Right?
I know, right? If you could train anywhere from Aotearoa, where would you go? In the country, I mean.
Well, I mean, if I could train anywhere, I would train all of it. Way down at Invercargill, wouldn't I? And stop at all the little nice villages on the way. I used to catch the train when I was a kid from Tauranga up to Auckland. It was fantastic. And it had like these beautiful sheepskin throws over the back of the seats. And I'd always order an American hot dog and get that eaten on the way up.
And they've stopped that service?
Yeah, they haven't done that for a while. I remember the last one I caught, the train actually broke down. Then we had to catch a bus. And then the bus caught on fire, and we had to catch another bus. So
that's a real metaphor for New Zealand's public transport, isn't it?
New Zealand public transport, yeah.
Oh, it's pretty crack up. But in terms of themes, and this track is sort of a wild love goose chase. There's lots of back and forth, unrequited love, and you use as a train as a metaphor to escape, to ride the thrill of love. Where did that metaphor?
That's a great interpretation.
Oh, thank you. Where did that metaphor come from? Why use a train?
Well, I think it actually came. I originally wrote the organ part for this like 2016, I think, and I was playing it for so many years. I had so much fun playing it. I never got around to writing lyrics because I'd start playing it and be like, I'm going to write some lyrics, and then I'd just sit there and end up playing the song over and over again and really enjoying it. And I think just the way that the song, I originally played it with my band back in the day, it just felt like I was on a train, because especially on the outro, which didn't make it into the version that I've released, but it will come out at another time, or I'll play it live. There's like this, it's called the derailment section, and the song just repeats the main phrase and slowly gets faster and faster, and it goes chicka 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 chicka, and it just feels like you're on a train. And that was kind of I dubbed the song the train song when I was initially writing it. So that's kind of where the train element for it came from.
Right. So the music informed the lyrics.
In terms of the lyrics, like I only wrote them last year and just really nutted down and said, like, right, I'm going to write some lyrics for this. And I got into a good space where I could focus and really enjoyed what I came up with, and kind of what it illustrated, like the vocal style in it is like something, it's completely different from what I would have written like 10, 15 years ago when I came up with the instrumentation. That would have been so different if I'd written the whole song back then. So yeah, that's what you get.
Oh, that's awesome to see how it's changed over time. I think lyrically, yeah, it sort of reminded me a little bit of It's Raining Today by Scott Walker, just because there's some really great imagery in your track that kind of remind me of some of the lyrics from that song. But I do want to speak about your creative control on this track, because you are playing all the instruments aside from the drums. I noticed it's not the same in your band. Do you quite enjoy just, you know, doing everything yourself?
I like both. I mean, if I had the option, I'd go in, I'd roughly draft a song, go into the studio, have the band there, and we'd all learn and record it at the same time. And that's when the magic happens, when you start, everybody's kind of just knows the song enough that they can kind of be creative and amazing accidents happen. Mm-hmm. That's really a lot of fun. And then there's sometimes where I've got a song where I'll just piecemeal put it together, and that way I have a lot more creative control and have the song match like a perfect artistic vision. So both styles work, both styles come up with great things, but it can be quite different. That's why my last album that I did was more of a band album. A lot of that was kind of recorded live. There's only a few tracks on there which I did myself. Right. Mostly. So yeah, this one it's basically all me, although I had my producer Joe Farris, he helped me structure the song and put it together, because I came to him with all these parts and was like, I don't know how to put this together, and he helped me kind of arrange it, helped me with the backing track, the backing vocals, and just like kind of fine tune it to get it into a space where it would work as a good single. Because if it was just me doing it, it would probably be a less kind of palpable for the mainstream audience. It would probably be a little bit more wild and free.
He's sort of the engineer on the train, making sure that it stays.
I'm just shoveling the coal, and he's like making sure the engine's finally tuned.
And it's finally out of the workshop. It's ready to take weight of the tracks. I can't wait to hear more stuff from down the line this year. Do you have any other releases planned, or is this just going
to
be like
I'm definitely aiming to have a couple more singles out in the year, so stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to be transport themed at all?
I'll see if I can milk that wagon anymore. Yeah,
enigmatic bus.
Without a wagon.
You could get an enigmatic bus out there.
Mystery bus.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the program, man. I really appreciate this chat. Do you have any?
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Do you have any final words or thoughts to leave our listeners with?
Hey,
Jude.
Sorry about the petrol prices, people. Get on your bike.
yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that, man. Get on your legs. You know.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ibid. I can't wait to play this track, Arthur. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Cheers,
take
man.
Care.
Cheers.
See you later.
All right, folks, that was Arthur Arbiz. We're talking to him about his new release, Mystery Train, which is wherever you find your, which is out wherever you find your music. I've gotten a bit giddy from this chat. Oh, man, Arthur's a real sweetie. And my goodness, he has so much style, so much presence. You can't see him on the camera, but he's got like this incredible silver beard and silver long hair. It's nuts. Bro has aura for days, let me tell you. Here is Arthur Arbiz with Mystery Train. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked. I'll see you soon enough. We have news with Cass later. See you around then. See you before then, probably. Bye.
Seeds, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.